All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, episode 4 of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Daw here with you, hanging out on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, joined again by my good friend Zach Blackerby, writer over at auburndaily.com. It's a little bit less of a beautiful day, Zach, considering what happened last night.
Oh my gosh.
Took an embarrassing road loss to the Georgia Bulldogs. 76-64 was the final score. And before we kind of dive into any sort of numbers, I just right off the top, I think there are some concerns that Auburn fans are starting to have based on what I saw on social media last night. It was so interesting to watch, you know, just riding the high last season. And then heading into this year, there was still sort of that high and excitement. And now that Auburn's taken a couple of losses, this one in particular, I think the fan base is starting to sober up a little bit, it feels like.
Yeah, well, I think you looked at the roster last year, and it's like, yeah, this is an SEC champion caliber team. And then you look at what you lost and what you brought back, and it's like, this team could be good, but it's probably not winning the SEC. And Lance, I mean, you've been writing about it, and you've been talking about it in different places, talking about how Auburn's probably the fifth or sixth best team in the SEC. And I've been saying on my show and on radio shows that I go on, it's like Auburn's goal should be a top four team in the SEC tournament so they get that double bye, and then maybe they get a chance to do something special if, you know, they get hot at the right time. That's kind of been where I've stood. Now, the way you beat Florida at home, I'm never going to like diss a win, right? The way you did it, they probably should have won by more at home, but it is what it is. You win. You won an SEC game. It was your SEC opener, whatever. Going on the road to Athens against a team that has a roster like no one on that team would probably start for you, right? Like, do you agree with that? And no. So you're favored by 7 by virtually every sports book out there, and you lose by double digits, and it really felt like a lot more, Lance. Like, it really felt like it. Auburn lost by 12, right? It felt like more than that. It felt like, yep, they never really had a chance after halftime to get back into it. And I think they cut it within 6 with a few minutes left to go, and it still felt like they were miles and miles away. And it's just because you have no faith that the offense can score like 3 straight possessions. You just have no faith in it. So any kind of rally, and people were criticizing their defense for being soft and all that last night. I don't know if I'm buying that. I think this is a good defensive team. I think the game just got out of control because they can't find a way to score consistently.
No, and that's the biggest thing. And I was talking last night with former writer here over at auburndaily.com, Trey Lee, and he and I were going back and forth and just observing you talk about the scoring issues there. Auburn couldn't string 3 possessions together where they got a bucket, a stop, and a bucket in that second half. It was just consistently just lapses on the defensive end of the floor, I felt like. And yeah. I agree with you. I don't think that this is a bad defensive team. It just felt like a game where things just got out of hand. Simply put, like you said, things just simply got out of hand. Auburn couldn't stop Terry Roberts, the guard for Georgia. He had a season-high 26 points on 8 of 16 shooting. You can't allow that. And then you look on Auburn's side, the guard play, Zach, has been a concern for the Tigers for quite some time, and that's something that we could sit here and talk about for another hour if we wanted to, about Auburn's guard play over the last half decade. But Wendell Green Jr., 2 of 12 in this game. You kind of expect more from your veteran guys at this point, and the fact that they didn't show up was really disappointing.
Yeah, and the guard play, which I think is the big issue in all of this, I just don't think the rotation makes sense. Zep needs to be at the 1. With these turnovers and bad shots constantly being taken, Zep needs to be at the 1, and I think he should start, and Wendell should come off the bench like we saw a year ago. That's personally my belief. I don't know if that means you start KD. I don't know if that means you try some other folks at the 2. I'm not sure on that. But I think Zep needs to start at the 1. It doesn't make any sense having him, the best floor general that you have, start at shooting guard. I don't know who that benefits other than the defensive side of the floor, because he's such a good defender. And then with Trey Donaldson getting more minutes at the 1, it's pushed Chance Westry out of the rotation, which from a program building standpoint, I'm fine with that based on what we've seen so far for 2023. But putting Westry at the 1, Lance, doesn't make sense to me because Aiden's coming next year and he's going to start at the 1. And so why are you trying to develop Chance in that way? Maybe you give him minutes at the two. Maybe you give him minutes at the three when Allen's cold, even though I think Allen was actually fine. People were kind of hating on Allen Flanagan last night. Allen Flanagan was decent. He was the only one of two players to get into double-digit scoring. He shot 10 times, scored 11 points, I believe. Like, I'll take that. But the whole guard rotation, both for this year doesn't make sense, and for the future of the program doesn't make sense. That's my biggest issue. I like what's happening at the five with Janai and Dylan. I like what's happening with the four most of the time. I love actually what's happening with the three. Chris Moore, what a pleasant surprise that's been. He's been outstanding. And Allen has its moments, and I think we kind of all knew that going into it. But I like Allen Flanagan more than the average basketball person. But just what's happening with the one and the two, it doesn't make sense for every one in every five games Wendell to get hot and be like, that's why he's there. That's why he's in there. When you can tell pretty early on if it's going to work or not, Lance.
Yep. I think the rotation is definitely the thing that's been concerning. And look, you and I have talked a lot. You know, you and I used to do a recap show just about every other weekend whenever this 2020 team was here. And like, look, the guard rotation's great. And since that point, since that season, Zach, we've not seen what made Bruce Pearl's squads early on at Auburn truly special as far as the shooting goes. Now, does every single team have to have a bunch of lights out shooters in order for them to succeed? No. But if you're going to recruit the style of player that Auburn has chosen to recruit at the guard spot, they have to be able to shoot. They cannot be both, and no disrespect to Zepp Jasper, Wendell Green, Katie Johnson, who all are very good at different things in their own right. They have to be able, if they're going to be undersized, to be able to do something either on the defensive end or shooting-wise that brings value to your team. And like you said, Wendell Green, starting where he's at, I think maybe the rotation needs to shift a little bit. Maybe let your guy that you brought in from Charleston to be that floor general, let him start at point guard. I don't understand why Auburn has chosen to let him kind of be your off-ball guy. It does not make sense for the offense. You also note, Zach, when you watched that game last night, when Auburn wanted to push and transition the two or three times that Zepp Jasper had the opportunity to do it, the defense kind of sagged off a little bit. They know that Zepp Jasper's not the type of guy that's going to be taking it to the rack. He's looking to do something else. So Auburn is right now rotationally not in a good spot, I don't think, with the way that they have implemented their different players and what they want to do individually. Zepp Jasper is really good at defense. Wendell Green is really good at distributing the basketball and shooting threes. Katie Johnson is just insane. I mean that in the best way possible.
I understand. But yeah.
There right now is a really tough situation, I think, for Bruce Pearl in this roster, where they've gone out and gotten three transfer guards that do things individually well. I don't know if rotationally it makes sense with what Auburn is trying to do with them collectively. And I don't want to say, oh, Auburn went out and whiffed on every single player that they got. I'm not saying that. But for the short term, it's not working out. And for the long term, like you just said, Aiden Holloway coming in, which is essentially Shreve Cooper with a little bit better of a jump shot, I think that Auburn is in a really interesting spot over these next couple of seasons as far as where they may want to look. Again, I want to reiterate, if you're going to play undersized guards in your backcourt, they have to be able to shoot a little bit. And so
Or facilitate,
which Wendell Green has been decent at, but he had 3 assists to 4 turnovers last night. I mean, even in SEC play, Wendell Green has kind of fallen off after a really good start to last year's season. So it's just a weird spot, Zach.
Yeah, it is weird, and it's unfortunate. So looking at these guards, one thing they are good at is defense. Mm. And in this world of cybersecurity, the best defense that you can possibly have is with our friends at NordVPN, Lance.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to remind you guys that today's episode is sponsored by NordVPN. Guys, staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be potentially exploited by hackers just about everywhere you go. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track and securing your privacy. And NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Guys, I would highly encourage you to check out the link in the episode description today to start staying safe online. Again, NordVPN, keeping everybody online secure. Again, check out the link in the description.
And Lance, one note on that. I've heard like people talk about VPNs a ton. I'm very online. You're very online as well.
Yes.
And when we were talking through with NordVPN throughout this process, I was blown away by how affordable it is. I assumed I was priced out of, or kind of priced out of my, like, for it being worth it.
Yeah.
It's very, very affordable with our discount code. So be sure to click that link in the episode description down below. So the biggest thing now for this Auburn basketball team is Arkansas's coming. And I think the timing of this game is very fortunate for Auburn, because if you win this game at home in a very electric Neville Arena on a Saturday night, all of a sudden, all the negative stuff goes away, right? I mean, if you get a win of this caliber at home, it shuts everyone up and it gives you confidence. And all of a sudden, all right, we're back in this thing.
It definitely does, Zach. And look, Arkansas so far this year has proven that they can kind of hang with the big boys. If you were to give a top three in the SEC, I'm sure it would consist of probably Tennessee, Alabama, and Arkansas in some shape or form. So this is a really good team that Auburn's going up against this weekend. Just beat Missouri at home. They were down big in that game early.
Huge.
They were able to come back, win 74-68. This is a really good Arkansas team that is very good on the defensive end of the floor. So how Auburn handles them in Neville Arena, I think, is going to be telling for, and not just the entire season. I'm not saying, well, this game will define the rest of the season. It will start to prove some more things about the Tigers, I think, because Florida, while a really good defensive team in their own right, I mean, this is just essentially a level up from that in the same environment, arguably a little bit more difficult one for the Razorbacks. But, Zach, yeah, if they don't win this game, which right now, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm leaning towards them taking an L this weekend in Neville Arena. You have to look at the upcoming schedule, and this is something that I've spoken a lot about on my podcast over at Locked On Kentucky, just about how difficult this SEC slate is. There is no reprieve. Every single game is a dogfight. You have to go to Ole Miss. You play Mississippi State at home. You get at LSU and at South Carolina. Three of your next four games are on the road against teams that are going to be difficult. It doesn't matter how bad they may be. It doesn't matter how what their record is. Every game in the SEC is going to be tough. And so I wonder, Zach, not necessarily where Auburn's going to find themselves as far as like a physicality standpoint, but where they're going to find themselves mentally. You know, obviously the offense has kind of been sluggish at times this season. They've not been shooting very well. Where does Auburn find themselves if they start to kind of get in a little bit of a rut here?
Yeah. I think going into Georgia, I thought if they could beat Arkansas, there's a chance that they start 4-5-0 in the SEC. But that was kind of based on the assumption of Georgia's not a good team and Auburn should beat them. Because now all of a sudden, like, I don't think Mississippi State or Ole Miss are particularly good. Mm. They haven't shown anything so far. Mississippi State's gotten pretty much blown out in every kind of like relevant opponent that they've played. And I just don't think they're that good despite being ranked a week ago. And then Ole Miss, similar thing. I just don't think they're that good. But if you can't beat Georgia and Athens, like, who can you beat? Like, who can you feel confident going into? And, you know, maybe with Mike White, Georgia's better than we think they are, right? If you want to boog a little bit and say, hey, maybe the loss wasn't as bad as it looks. I think it is, Lance, but I'm just saying maybe if you want to look at it the other way and spin it, or maybe it'll wake something and maybe people, you know, maybe Auburn wants to be a little bit more selective with their shots and kind of clean things up on offense, then you can beat Ole Miss and Oxford. I think Mississippi State at home is super winnable. That's a game that I would be shocked if Auburn lost just because they're so good at winning at home. And I actually kind of think they're going to win on Saturday just because they don't lose in Neville Arena, Lance. They just don't. It's the second or third longest active home winning streak for a reason. And I think there's a chance that that extends even throughout the rest of this season. If Auburn went undefeated in the conference at home, even after what happened last night, it's not going to shock me just because it's a totally different team. I mean, we've seen that for the last 5 years. Auburn is a different basketball team when they play in Neville Arena versus when they play outside of it. So, but yeah, I mean, you look at these, and after Arkansas with the road trips to Oxford and then Baton Rouge, LSU is a team that I think is overachieved considering their whole roster left. And they had to like duct tape a team together. Like, they should have been Kentucky a few weeks ago. Like, they outplayed Kentucky for a large chunk of the game. So, it's tough. It's going to be a tough next few weeks for Auburn.
I think, Zach, one of the questions that the fan base is asking that they're probably not going to get an answer to, and this is something that Bruce knew from the jump this season. Like, how are you going to fix the offense? How are you going to fix the shooting? How are you going to fix these problems? And I genuinely don't think right now this coaching staff, and look, I'm not in there every single day. I go to the practices, but I'm not in there every single day with these guys trying to figure out what's going on. I don't think this staff has the answer. I think the The point at this point is to say, look, we're really good defensively. We know how to do certain things really well, and so we're going to kind of lean on that. And until then, we're just going to try and find that confidence outside of that, Zach. I don't really know what Auburn's going to do.
Well, what have they done to try to change it, right? Because I think you and I agree. We've talked about this before with strategy, with some of the businesses that we do together, where it's like, all right, if we're doing the same thing, we're probably going to expect the same result, right? Like that's something. So sometimes, even though this makes sense, you got to change what you're doing just for the sake of changing it. I'm a very big proponent of that. And so you look at what's happened from the start of the season to now, what's changed? We all agree that the main issue on offense is the guard rotation. So it's like, what has changed to the guard rotation? And I guess it's Trey Donaldson's playing more
and Westry's
not a part of it. Yeah. That's about it. And to me, you're going to need to try something else. And to me, I think that's putting Zepp at the one, which Zepp shared on my show last week that they haven't practiced him at the one since last year. So like, I don't think that's happening. And we talked right before I recorded with him for my show, right before we recorded this, Lance. He still like hasn't been told, hey, you're going to play the one. So like, I don't anticipate that to happen. So what else could potentially happen to shake things up? And I think you need some kind of scoring threat at the two. Not that Zepp's not a scoring threat. He just doesn't shoot. He shot, I think, three times last night against Georgia.
Yeah, it was two for three,
right? And there were a few shots where it's like, man, you are wide open. And I thought he was about to do it. And he like passed it down to Janai because that's just kind of, he's a point guard. Zepp is a point guard. And so I don't know what else you can change other than saying, hey, Wendell, you don't have a green light anymore, which I don't think is going to happen because that's Bruce's thing, right? That's why people love playing for him. I don't think that's going to happen. Or does Trey Donaldson play more minutes? Do you split it close to 20-20 as far as, you know, 20 minutes for Trey Donaldson, 20 minutes for Wendell at the one? Like, I don't know if you can do that either, Lance. So I don't know how you fix it.
It's definitely just just a weird spot for Auburn where they find themselves in a place where they need to solve a problem and they cannot solve it.
Lance, did Bruce make a roster management mistake early in the transfer portal era when he added three guards that on paper, all of them made Auburn better? Yep. When he signed Wendell Green with many years of experience or many years of eligibility left, Katie Johnson with many years of eligibility left, and Zepp with
two.
I guess he'd have two. Yeah. And so I wonder if he's going to learn from that and get guys with less experience moving forward. Because even then, like, what if Walker hadn't panned out and you had Walker for 4 years, right? Like, obviously that worked out. But it's just, I wonder if his strategy moving forward is to get guys that have fewer years of eligibility left and to kind of get more experienced dudes. So this way you can turn your roster over quicker if you need to.
Yep.
Because he's kind of put himself in a spot, even like, all right, you got Aiden coming in, who's going to be your starter. But this offseason, because people don't leave this program, Bruce doesn't process people, it doesn't seem, which is, I think, big picture, it's fine. But from year to year, it's probably a little frustrating. But going into next year after this season, you're still going to have Wendell. You're going to have Aiden at the ones. KD's not going anywhere. You got Trey. And so all of a sudden, it's like you're going to be in the same issue next year as you were this past offseason, where like, why would a guard transfer here?
See, that's what I wanted to say gently earlier, and that's what I was kind of hinting at, is that Pearl and this staff, I think early on in the transfer portal era, went out and they were too quick to make decisions on three different players that, unfortunately, I think up until this point have just, they looked on paper like they were going to pan out and play well. I mean, Katie Johnson at Georgia, what was he shooting? 38% from three in his freshman season? They looked like they were going to be valuable additions to this roster. But now we look down the road, we're a year and a half into this experiment here. And I'm going to be honest with you, Zach, it's not been a benefit to the entire roster. And so you look at next season, like you mentioned, Wendell Green, Trey Donaldson, Aiden Hallway, somebody's going to have to go. I mean, that's just plainly, plain and simple. Somebody's going to have to go. And then the final thing I'll say about Wendell here, and this is what I wanted to say before we started talking about the rotation. You cannot have one of your leaders and one of the most experienced players on your roster and the best player arguably in your backcourt overall kind of dictate the game in such a negative way as he did last night. I think there was back-to-back-to-back possessions where he took a rush shot, and it led to, I think, maybe 4 to 6 points on Georgia's end and them kind of expanding the lead in that second half after Auburn got back into it. Bruce Pearl said in the postgame, look, we can't win a game with Jalen Williams going 1 of 9. He's absolutely right. We also can't win with Wendell Green going 2 of 12. This is not on one individual player. I'll say that first and foremost, but sure. Auburn's backcourt right now is in a really tough spot. And it's also, Zach, I think, inflamed by the fact that the fan base since that Final Four team has kind of had extremely high expectations, not just for the team and the program overall, but for what comes out of that backcourt since Jared Harper and Bryce Brown have been here. Sharif Cooper was obviously another highlight that some people don't realize. He wasn't that good as a basketball player overall as well. That's a conversation for another day. But point being, Bruce Pearl has elevated this program to a point that I don't think has consistently happened for a very long time, at least for Auburn basketball. Yeah. But there needs to be some type of either one, a reality check, or two, an adjustment. And I'm not a coach, so I can't make either of those, but it's a tough spot right now.
We've got takeaways up at auburndaily.com if you want to hear more opinions about Saturday's game and what they need to do to improve. We'll also have your coverage for Auburn, Arkansas. Lance will be there. Eric, our photographer, will be on the court getting shots for us as well. So all of those things will be exclusively at auburndaily.com, as well as, look, we got a lot of transfer portal guys on campus this week. We'll break all of that down as well. I put up a story this morning about Auburn being the lead school for Wake Forest Edge, who's got a lot of experience with 1 year left of eligibility. So we've got all kinds of stuff at auburndaily.com, including even some baseball stuff that Lindsay put out, Lance.
Yes, absolutely. And man, I'll tell you what about Lindsay. That is the best baseball coverage you will find out there in the Auburn sphere. Absolutely phenomenal. He's got 3 New Year's resolutions up over at auburndaily.com. Make sure you check those out. And speaking of Lindsay, make sure you check out our show tomorrow. We're going to have Harrison Tarr and Lindsey Crosby on. I believe they're going to talk a little baseball, actually, Zach, so that should be exciting.
Yep. Nope. He's the best out there, and it's really the only free Auburn baseball coverage there. So we've got you covered at Auburn Daily.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Make sure you follow Zach and I on Twitter at ZBlackerby, at Lancedaw _. If you're listening on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. We would love to see us get to maybe 1,000 subs here before the end of the spring. That's the goal, at least for me personally. Let's see if we can get there. And again, if you have not checked out auburndaily.com, go check it out. We've got a ton of content going up here as we wade further and further into the new year. I will see you all on Monday. Zach will see you all on Tuesday next week for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.